Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Welcome back to Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Tuesday, the 7th of February, 2023, and you're on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. It's a Tuesday. That means it's a World News Tuesday with Mr. Mark Palmer. Good morning, Mr. Palmer.
Hey, good morning, Erin. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I'm much better this morning than I was yesterday.
Why?
Morning, because yesterday morning, I woke up to no electricity.
So, yeah, well, you know, we did as well.
That's what I was thinking. That's why it weighed even more heavily on my heart. Normally, when it's just me without electricity, mm-hmm. I could look out through the darkness of my window and sit in the joy that other people could do things like bathe and watch TV and, you know, and sort of enjoy, you know, feel good about myself because I know other people. But then when I realized that practically everybody had no electricity, virtually everybody had no electricity yesterday morning.
I mean, I get a little bit concerned because when we started out, when my wife and I got married, we had one freezer, one little freezer.
Mm-hmm.
Then she kept adding freezers, right? Now we have three,
mm-hmm.
and they're all full to the brim.
Mm-hmm.
So I was a little worried that this could continue because I got plenty of stuff in there.
You get plenty of fruit, eh?
Plenty of food, yeah. Fruit as well.
Yeah, that's what I say. I have a fruit rescue business. I'm expanding my services as the summer approaches.
What is food rescue?
Fruit. Only because you're going to have fruit in your freezer.
Yeah.
And I think like there's a villain out there. It has initials. It could be BPL. I don't know. Maybe they changed their life to Christ. There's a villain out there who may be seeking to destroy your fruit. But I will save you. I'll save the day. I'll come and I'll rescue your fruit from you so I could do things with it. I think that's a service we're going to be needing this summer. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just am actually sort of off kilter. It's only February. It's only the first week of February and we've already experienced.
And it's cold. But I have to say, I have a couple of good stories. When I went to BPL to change my account, it was flawless. And then when I went online, they gave you a number, you know, to set up your PIN. Somebody answered the phone. Boom. It was all done. So I have to say I was impressed with the customer service BPL. I went into water sewage this week. Same thing. Boom. Done in like less than an hour.
Mm-hmm.
An account transferred. Everything done. No problem. So I'm impressed. We are improving.
I'm glad that you said that because we're going to...
Because I know the big, you know, the BPL issue and, that's in the papers now. But just detracting from that, there are some parts of BPL that are actually providing a service.
Listen.
A good service.
Look here. Oh, you always have to preface this conversation with BPL with the difficulty in interrogating these issues because you don't understand, like, how is the technical staff so good and the service so horrible? Right? How is the customer service? You say customer service
because
is improving.
Because of different parts of the business.
Yeah.
And some don't appear to be accountable from what I can see.
To others.
To others. Even just basic questions.
But you, right?
I mean, how could a board of a utility, when required to answer questions by the regulator, just refuse? Where does that actually happen? How is that acceptable?
I can tell you where it happens. It happens here. We can talk about it in
amazing,
a moment.
That's amazing, isn't it? I was shocked when I had a look at... Because, you know, they're 19, right?
Yeah, well, let's get that. Because I'm going to say, when you tell me that BPL ignored the regulator, mm-hmm. IRCA, that don't move me. when somebody tells me that committee chairs at the Chamber of Commerce attempted to engage the BPL board, and the BPL board's response was, we're not entertaining or engaging any questions put to the old board, that that's the one that concerned me. IRCA,
But, you know, I went on their website, and, you know, one of their big planks is protecting the consumer. And all the decisions they make, they have to balance, you know, the commercial interest plus the consumer, particularly the poor consumer.
Is that the plank that you walk? Or is that the plank that holds up the roof? Because I was under the impression that a major part of IRCA's function was consumer protection, right? And oversight for consumer relations.
Yeah, it's actually one of their planks. If you look on there, there's an energy plan.
But like I said,
there's a lot to it. There's a lot, you know, for a regulator, it's a lot of work. But and you need to be helped to do that work by being upfront and transparent.
But even more than that, you need to be enabled to do that work. And like I say, in my experience with IRCA, I engaged IRCA because I was under that a major function was customer relations, customer regulations, and oversight, receiving, assessing, and facilitating, not just facilitating, but using their frameworks and mechanisms to manage complaints, right? Process and manage complaints. And then it's like everybody at IRCA was like, why would you have that impression? Live. And then you realize, as pointed out by some of the staff, how could IRCA fulfill those functions if they don't have the legislative mechanisms and provisions required to fulfill that function? And so it's great to see that IRCA is enhancing. But the real thing is, how do you do this work if the other stakeholders are not participating? How do you do this work if you haven't actually been enabled to do it? You don't have the staff. You don't have the legislation.
I mean, I think there is a missing stakeholder. You know, the business community is well represented by the chamber. I think chamber does an excellent job representing their interests. But the actual consumer doesn't really have a voice. And I think we find this all around, you know, that they just don't have the lobbying power or the ability to influence.
Well, no, they don't have, they're not sufficiently organized to levy their numbers. And their positioning in the system, right? Like, you, first of all, you are the consumer. Second of all, you are the citizen. Why wouldn't you be centered in all of these discussions, right? And it's extremely problematic. When we come to this particular conversation now about the status of BPL generally, but specifically the road to 150, right? Like, if you look at yesterday's headlines in The Guardian, F&M blasts government over BPL's $150 million arrears. Again, that headline is F&M blasts government over BPL's $100 million in arrears.
Well, it wasn't just the arrears. It was that it was unfunded. It was, you know, it just appeared on the balance sheet. It's like, you know, if you run a business and you present your annual accounts, and then all of a sudden, we've got to tell you about this rather material. You know what $150 million divided by our population? I think it's like $300 per person. That's going to, you know, $300 per person in, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, it's absolutely a lot of money. And then we have...
So I understand, you know, so it's a little bit complex and, you know, people are throwing mud, right? The first law of politics, if you get in trouble, you muddy the waters. So the waters are incredibly muddied, very hard to unpack actually what's going on, what happened. And this is when you need the regulator to come in and say, okay, we've heard what, you know, the government has said, we've heard what the opposition said, but here are the facts.
Yeah.
This is what actually happened. And they're both partially right and they're partially wrong. At the moment, we just don't know. It's very hard to unpick it. It just becomes a political. We know something's wrong, right? We know some missteps were made, and maybe for the right reasons. Decisions were made for the right reasons.
Yeah.
Be good if those were explained in detail to us, right?
Right. And so one of the questions I want to ask after reading F&M blasts government over BPL's $150 million in arrears in yesterday's Guardian, updated.
So that is arrears to Shell, the supplier, I understand, right?
Well, no, this is it, but we're not quite certain.
That's what I'm assuming here, right? This is the debt BPL's main supplier, Shell.
Right. I guess that's what.
But you could say that was owed by customers, so we're not really sure. It hasn't really been defined per se, my mind. You know, accurately defined exactly what that is. But I do believe it is. From reading, it is what we owe Shell, what BPL owes Shell.
Right. But from reading the article, what mm-hmm. I've come to is there's no certainty. We have. Statement.
Yeah, you know what I find surprising is, you know, with all the journalists we have at The Guardian, The Tribune, surely one journalist could unpick this.
Pause.
And
give him a second, Mark.
Yeah.
Give him a second. Because here's what I'm saying, right? Politics, I feel, have been dragged into something that's a governance matter.
Yes,
a part of the lack of clarity is the back and forth between politicians versus mm-hmm. a presentation mm-hmm. of assessment, interrogation,
right.
and investigation yeah. by government mechanisms. Mm-hmm. So,
like an ombudsman or some kind of, well, IRCA, that's
right.
what IRCA
so the first question,
be doing, I guess.
The first question I ask is, can IRCA access and publish the answers to the questions raised in these articles, right? So F&M mm-hmm. Blast, government, mm-hmm. that's Guardian, updated BPL's hedge mishandling to cost Bahamians $150 million, Nassau Tribune. When we go to today's Tribune, who's mm-hmm. to blame? And of course, we finish it up with the Guardian, Davis shifts tone on BPL, right? So the first question I have is, can IRCA, with the provisions that mm-hmm. form it, access and publish the answers to the questions raised in these articles, right? The Guardian had some great, great questions mm-hmm. in that article. The second question I have is, can this matter and the questions raised in these articles and or by the F&M in the form of the leader of the opposition be interrogated by the Public's Accounts Committee? So that's what I want to know. Why is Pintard, why is the leader of the opposition going back and forth with the Prime Minister and Alfred Sayers in the House of all places where they have this sort of privilege, right? Mm-hmm. They aren't required to speak with the same accuracy that they would in a courtroom, right? Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't the Public's Accounts Committee take up this report? Because what we know is that the Public Accounts Committee can only interrogate or investigate reports that have been tabled. So why can't this matter be addressed by the Public Accounts Committee as opposed to this political back and forth? The third question is, can an autonomous information commissioner and the FOIA bring clarity to the matter? So when we delve into all of these articles, I'm so sorry, I didn't print. You know, I like to print out the articles so I could see it like a school book. I have the newspaper here. The questions.
Because I would just, as a person, you know, just a lay person, we're just very confused at the moment. You know, how do they come of billing, you know, which appears to be in contravention of the Electricity Act. And so there's an allegation, right, that the new billing system wasn't actually provided for.
Right.
So you're wondering, okay, maybe they contravened the act, but maybe it was for a good reason.
Well, I think what it is that the act was amended to be able to operate the hedge. The act was amended to be able to operate the hedge. The act was not amended to address the fact that the hedge is no longer in operation, mm-hmm. right? And that's what the problem is. The real issue is this, Mark, if IRCA was allowed to function as it's intended to function theoretically, would this have happened? Would IRCA have caught these missteps or mistakes and straightened them out?
Well, no, I'm actually talking about the allegation of that new billing system they came up
with.
What they said is that there was a different rate for consumers based on consumption and creating different categories of consumers. They don't have an act that actually speaks to that. So they just came up with that. They hadn't followed the Electricity Act to come up with that new structure.
Yeah, that's fine.
Right?
But if IRCA was functioning the way it was supposed to be functioning, right, as an autonomous body that provides oversight and dictates, or at the very least recommends policy decisions when your suggestions don't align with the regulatory framework and the legislation it's rooted in, right? If IRCA were allowed to function properly, they would have caught these things. Mm. And whether they expected the government to yield to their suggestions, there should be a report somewhere that says, listen, before you do this, refer to this.
Mm-hmm.
Before you do this, refer to the Attorney General's office to determine whether you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so IRCA, in that instance, in terms of answering these questions, would an autonomous information commission powered by and using the provisions of the Freedom of Information Act be able to access this information and bring clarity to the matter? Because while...
Because these are not easy decisions, right? To decide on a head.
But Mark, you worried about this philosophical thing about the decisions that they made. I am more concerned about how they made the decisions.
Yeah.
Did they adhere to the required protocols, to the legislation, to provisions of the legislation, right? I'm not that worried about whether a hedge is better or not better. In fact, I can tell you right now what I...
It would have been better.
You think the hedge would have been... Well, we're going to get into that, right?
Yeah.
Because the second thing is that...
Well, it would have saved the consumer money.
Is that the leader of the opposition and the PLP differ greatly on that position, whether the hedge would be better. There's a secondary point that was raised.
So actually, that's a very good point, because we don't have the advisory committee that to go for the hedge. But then when the Ministry of Finance or whoever made the decision, they decided, as Brave said, they knew what was in Brave's mind, so they knew what to do, right?
Hold on, who said that? Oh, wait. Who in government saying things like that?
He said that.
Hold on, who said that?
Brave said it, and it was, I actually picked that up from the paper. I'll find you the quote. Shall I find you the quote and read it?
Yeah, find the quote.
Yeah, all right.
Because
okay.
I can't imagine Brave is, Brave can't be talking to like Minnis now saying that, you know, if Brave knew what was in Brave's mind, the administration seems... like it may be operating at that level now.
Okay, so this is the quote, right? This is the Prime Minister speaking. You have to understand what you're doing when you're asked to do it. And so if it were that requests were made for the execution of the trade, it probably didn't reach my attention because the technical person who may have seen it, they know what Brave would have done in that circumstance. They would have examined the circumstance and decided whether or not it was appropriate and prudent thing to do.
Listen...
I know he's a very good lawyer, but I didn't know he was an expert on hedges and
a poet, obviously.
Yeah.
And that's political poetry.
But we know that this is,
but
you know.
No, pause, Mark.
Okay.
And this is the point that I'm making.
I'm not
right?
making it up. This is from.
No, no,
this
you.
Is, this is from.
What's the article? Is take the quote is.
That was Nassau Guardian. Davis Schiff's tone. I think
that's this morning. That's this morning. Davis Schiff's tone on BPL.
One, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's right off the press.
Anyway,
right off the press.
This is great. Let's make this segue here. I was late getting to the studio this morning. I was late getting to the studio this morning because I had to put air in my tire. I'm not certain whether I have a nail in my tire, if it's just a rock, but I was certain that I wasn't going to check it out this morning and make myself even later. Here's why that's important. One of the things I want to talk about is this, right? The leader of the opposition called, is continuously calling for the resignation of Alfred Says, specifically on this BPL, $150 million fuel hedge matter. And I say this, we can continue to call for the resignation of the Minister of Public Works, but not because of BPL. I was calling for the resignation of the Minister of Public Works domain, unaware that this was the madness. I knew there was madness going on. You could smell it.
What's he thinking?
Okay, so here's why.
Why should he resign?
No, let's start with why he shouldn't resign. Mm-hmm. He shouldn't resign on this particular BPL matter, first of all. And I know this may sound like the pettiest thing ever, but because the FNM is asking for him to resign. That's why. This is the first thing right there. Let me continue, because the FNM, and the FNM don't have the ethical, I don't think they have the legal, they don't have the moral authority to tell anybody to resign from BPL. They did have an ethical and a moral obligation to make Desmond Bannister resign from BPL, resign from the Minister of Public Works when he was in the helm in the last administration. But they didn't feel that necessary. They should have asked him, Bannister, to resign over matters specifically to do with BPL and other Ministry of Works related issues. But let's go on. The reason why the FNM cannot demand the resignation of Alfred Says, and I don't know if you all remember.
Which happened back in, under their administration.
Which happened back in, I think.
2016, or was it earlier?
I think it was earlier. Is it 2012 to 2017?
Oh, okay.
That was the FNM administration, right? Mm-hmm. So the Ulster matter would have been resolved in the 2012 to 2017 administration, 2012 mm-hmm. to 2017, mm-hmm. and the issues addressed in it would have arisen prior to that, right? And I got an old article, May 4th, coming to you right now, caller, don't go anywhere, 2016, updated, Ramsey convicted of multiple charges in BEC bribe case. Mm-hmm. Stick a pin right there and let's go to the caller. Good morning, caller, you're on the clock.
All right.
Caller, I am very, very, very sorry. So the article reads, Freddie Solomon Ramsey faces 10,000 fine and 4 years in prison after a jury convicted him last night of multiple bribery-related charges stemming from the Alstom SA scandal.
Yeah, I remember that.
The 79-year-old insurance executive was stoic when the jury's 4 not guilty and 14 guilty verdicts were announced some 3.5 hours after Justice Bernard Turner excused the 9-member panel to deliberate on evidence alleging that French company Alstom SA paid more than $300,000 to a BC board member to influence the awarding of the New Providence Phase 2 and 3 contracts between 1999 and 2003. That's the Alstom matter. It gets better. Let's go to the call. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
On the screen.
Good morning. How are you?
Pretty good. But I'm listening to you, and you're wrong on a lot of things. But
tell me, let's go.
The situation with Alfred Says, it has nothing to do with the BPL. It leads into something. But the misleading of the House of Assembly require you to resign.
So
when the House of Assembly.
Oh, pause. Okay, good.
Why do you think they keep saying the same thing? He misled. He came in the House and listened.
Okay, what about the whole 2017, 2021 administration? All of them should resign then.
The FNM had more people resign than ever. Come on, man.
Tell me two. And tell me why they resigned.
Samson won, right?
Why did he resign?
Because he sent in a resignation. The PLP wasn't going to do that.
Listen, why did he resign, though? Was he the minister responsible for aviation?
It had nothing to do with that. He brought in the people.
How he could bring them in?
Him and Obi conspired with him. And they brought in the people.
Obi who?
And then Obi signed on it. Obi just come.
No, man. Obi and Dwayne signed. PLP. Sir, I can't believe.
Y'all don't know.
Dear sir, pause. Producer, pause him for a second. Yeah, just pause him. Caller, don't go nowhere. Don't hang up your phone. First of all, don't hang up your phone. Most important thing. First things first. Let's get this clear. I am not a journalist. Okay? I never claim to be a journalist. I don't write. You hear me this morning, my co-host is talking, and I insist on referencing the newspaper articles that I've pulled my information from. So let's get that first. When you cast in aspersions, I'm not a journalist.
But you need to sit down, discuss, or tackle things before you come on to the
show. Second of all, sir.
Y'all don't do that. Y'all just...
Second of all, sir, I really tried. I really tried just now. I asked you to pause. I'm trying to have a conversation with you. Let's take a moment, Mark, to do this. You can't call the radio station and accuse people of such scurrilous things, create impressions in people's minds that people are destroying their professional integrity to push a particular political agenda. And I ain't never claimed to be a journalist. Second of all, sir, what are you saying to me that I am lying about? Did I never say that no FNMs resign ever in life? I ever said that was. Why are you using Dwayne Sands as an example? And I'm going to tell you why. Because Dwayne Sands didn't resign with integrity and honor. To resign with integrity and honor is to declare, to disclose fully and entirely what happened. You resigned to show honor to the Bahamian people, but that's not what the resignation was about. It was to save political face for the party and for the individual. How Dwayne Sands going to resign on a matter that involves the minister responsible for aviation? Like, why you want to call my show, talk this politics, and then accuse me of these things? Now, I ask you to pause so we could have a conversation. That my left side of my mind is always saying to me, why you want to have a conversation with people who's called the show and call you a liar and say these kind of things? The truth is, I want to give you an opportunity to save face. That's why I asked you to pause. I'm not a journalist, and obviously neither are you. That's why people on the radio don't want to talk about these types of issues. It's already a difficult issue. Wait till you hear the rest of what I have to say, sir. So these are already difficult things to talk about, and then y'all come and complicate it, not with critical inquiry and interrogation, but with these kind of backhanded comments. As a fancy, it's like a 17-letter word I want to use, Mark, but it's like when you cast something on somebody, right? It's negative, but you don't say it clearly. And them kind of things, sir. Let's get past that, man. Are you already about to cast some heavy things on Alfred Sayers and the former Minister of Wakes, Desmond Bannister, you know? But the most important thing is I'm not a journalist, okay? I'm gonna get back to what I would say. Here's why Alfred Sayers should not resign from BPL. And here's why, in particular, the leader of the FNM should be more critical when they call in for resignation of opposition members. Says Alstom. Then there's the generator fire. And then there's the report into the investigation, into the leaking of the generator fire file report. There's all of that. All of that. And then the BPL board under the FNM administration that refused to take questions, even from the Chamber of Commerce.
And from IRCA.
And then there's...
reply to IRCA's questions.
Too. Right. And then there's the whole devolution of the BPL board and the matters pertaining to BPL under the FNM administration. Did anybody, except for Aaron Green, call for the resignation of Desmond Bannister at that time? And I'm not talking about other PLPs, because that's partisan politics. That's just empty noise that they make to anybody else call for it. Now, here's why. We could go to the caller producer. Here's why Alfred Sayers should resign from...
Why?
Roadworks.
I know that's your
The only thing road work's doing is working on people's nerves. Like the literal nerves, the integrity of people's bodies are being compromised because of just the complete and utter lack of road maintenance and attention to their jobs. Public infrastructure. First of all, I really thought SARES would have been the one to shift the government policy on how they maintain and manage buildings under their care. Let's take a pause there. We're going to continue that list after we take this call. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron Green.
How you do?
You know, we should agree to disagree. I have to commend Mr. Sears. Let me tell you why.
Mm-hmm.
We took a little extra more time, if that English is correct, on Village Road. But if you watch, we're not going to have to go dig up Village Road, because we made sure put certain things in place. And I said this all over the media. So maybe we should invite Mr. Sears on the radio and ask him about maybe a special type of wisdom that he's using that we haven't seen before. Now, we know we got a lot of potholes. And, you know, when we get local government and settlement government and individual government, I don't know who's going to pay for all that government.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get rid of the central government. Because no sense having a central government MP what don't fix the pothole and then talk about you need a local government to pay another person to do the job of, that he failed at. Fire him. I'm for local government if we fire central government, but we shouldn't have too much government because somebody got to pay the VAT and pay them fancy paycheck and cars.
Yeah.
But what I see is the people are happy. Hamburgers are $12 now. People still got the place full up. Nobody's in Bay Street. I don't see thousands of tens of thousands of people on Bay Street like in some other countries where people are angry. They're happy. Bahamians are rich.
Mm-hmm.
Richest country in the hemisphere.
Mm-hmm.
Next to the U.S. and Canada, they say, but I don't agree with that because U.S. and Canada money ain't like my money.
Mm-hmm.
You ever thought about that, Aaron? Every bank is Canadian. And when they charge me a fee, which is something you could bring in a product and got to market up and pay tax and duty and, you know, pay for the product, they just create a fee, and when they send $100 worth of fees back to Canada, it's $140 Canadian.
Graham.
Where could I get 40% of my money in one day? Anyway, let me go, child.
Yeah, because you're making too much sense, and you sort of calming me down and shifting my focus.
I'm listening to you, and I'm driving on this smooth road, on Village Road, got me real relaxed. I'm just wondering why the whole country can't be like this.
Last question. Last question, Graham.
Yeah.
The roundabout opposite Queens, in between Queens College and BNT, is it large enough to accommodate both the school traffic and the traffic moving through Village Road?
Now, let me tell you, you should be in charge of the road traffic department whenever you choose to leave this position. Let me tell you why, because you make some good points.
Thank you.
We can put one big, lovely thing in the middle of that roundabout. And we could have had something small in the middle of that roundabout and made the lanes twice as wide. It's a good recommendation. But to fix it, people coming out of Queens College should go north, and people going from south going into Queens College would be trying to cross that road.
Yeah,
it's a simple fix. And down there by Bay Street, where that traffic light is, you know, by the boat ramp, if we moved that light, the bridge traffic would come and flow straight out east and never stop.
Mm-hmm.
You follow?
I got you, but I tell you what, I got to let you go on that point there, Graham, because you may be right, but we got this sort of cultural issue where we find that all the roads leading from the south to the north have slower rates of movement than like east to west. That's a fascinating point though, Graham.
Way to fix that is make East Street North and Blue Hill South, and that would be ending all of your troubles.
Thank you for the idea, Graham. Yeah. Thank you very much. I got to go to a break. Thank you, Graham. I guess you did what the universe intended. Got to go to a break. You're on the clock. We're going to be right back. You guys stay tuned.
Do you know you can get your business cards designed and printed for as low as 18 cents a card? If it's a poster you want, you can pay as little as $6 a square foot. If your print needs are short or long run, digital printing, wide format, or print consultation, call the best. Call Printmasters. Printmaster's goal is to provide its clients with the highest level of personal, professional service at an affordable price. Our state-of-the-art technology also makes working together efficient and easy. Laminations, business cards, flyers, posters, window and floor decals are just a few of the digitized print services offered at Printmaster's. Call 302-2361, 302-2361, or visit us at the Nassau Guardian Building in Oaksfield. Print with the best. Print with...
So much going on in the world today, only accepting cash at your business can be risky. Let Fidelity offer you and your customers safety, convenience, and the flexibility of a fixed or mobile terminal. Take it with you, on the move and on the go, because business should never stop. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit us at any of our branches.
It's a new year, and you're super excited to start the year off right. You've made your New Year's resolutions, doing more exercising, healthier eating, saving more, making better decisions and all that. For products that encourages healthy living, promotes sound financial decisions, or even promotes a positive lifestyle. One smart decision is to advertise in the Nassau Guardian's Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise supplement. So if you're a physician, speech, massage, or physiotherapist, own a gym, nutritional deli, or restaurant, does your financial insurance institution or credit institution have the plan for investing wisely? Then that information should be in the Nassau Guardian's Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise supplement. One low price gives you an ad in the supplement plus 15 30-second commercials. Interviews also available on Star 106 Hits, Guardian Radio, and Hot 91. Contact your account executives or the Nassau Guardian now. Start the new year right in the Nassau Guardian's Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise supplement.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
There are men I know who never discriminate, have any kind of a woman, take any size or shape. Short, fat, ugly, be they big or small, doesn't really matter, cause they love them all. When it comes to me, I have a preference. I am an exception.
Good morning, welcome back to On the Clock with Aaron Green. Producer, I like that song, I like it very much. Dear listening audience, I just like that singer. I ain't got no preference. I don't care what your opinion is, call. Call and share it. Text it in. Big, small, tall. Don't know if it's too juicy, don't share it. Like, there are some limitations. We do have some legal considerations that we have to remember. But we don't have to agree. But we got to be willing to listen to each other and willing to talk. That's my rule. We got to be willing to talk. I see we got another call there. Caller, you're on the line. Let me read... Let's go, caller. You're on the clock.
Hello.
Good morning. Good, thank you. Sparky, you getting, you practicing. Listen, don't take my job, you know. If I ever need a backup job, I go into ZNS and read community announcements.
Well, I've been in the game a long time, you know.
Yes, sir.
I've been in there from the doggone talk show side. Remember that?
Yes, sir.
But anyway, Mr. Green, you know, we talk about Little Village Road now. At least they say finally got it finished. Well, it ain't reached the Burnett Road yet. It's on reach.
Yeah.
But that's Wolf Road and Burnett Road, I should say, by Burger King. But the one question I always got to ask, you know, behemoths, they say, if you don't do it perfect, people complain.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Hello?
Yeah. Because the paycheck be perfect.
We even complain even if you do it perfect.
I mean, true.
We can find something to say.
Because I pay you
now,
how much money.
Now, the question I always ask.
Yes, sir.
You did all that planning to do the Village Road. Why you don't start digging it up already? Hello?
I have to catch myself, Sparky. In,
but they don't start digging it up.
Are they going to? It may be a particular protocol that they
but
have.
But don't you have something in your car, a plan?
You plan,
you go change these pipes going into the side road, the side corners.
See?
You go put another base street to hook into that doggone thing.
Yes, sir.
All of this supposed to be what they call, what they call the engineer, civil engineer.
Mm-hmm.
All of that underwater, waterworks and all the pipes and conduits and everything supposed to be planned.
Yeah.
And then 1 week after you say the thing opened, what was supposed to open December the 3rd, opening up in February, but you don't start digging it up. Now, another thing is, these things which you call the manhole, you know the things which you call the, that steel thing?
Mm-hmm.
I just changed, let me tell you, in my car, I just changed 2 idle arms, all the coils in the engine, and 2 rear shock absorbers, plus all my front brakes and my back brakes. Last Wednesday, the man took my car to the machine shop and did all of that for me.
Yeah.
Just changed all of them now. Now I could go up Village Road, and first thing I hit is one of those manholes with a steel rim around it, what I believe should be level with the asphalt. You either got it 2 inches lower or 2 inches higher. I got to hit with my rubber tire.
Sparky.
And you just fixed this road. You can't even it out.
Sparky.
And then you do it, put some cement on top of it. Or why don't you just cover it up all together, and you know where the manhole is. You could go there with these sauna things, and some beep, beep, beep will say, that's the manhole right there.
Sparky.
You dig it up, do what you got to do, and then you level it back over. I mean, do you have to go off to university to learn that?
Sparky, I got to go. I appreciate your points entirely. I can tell you why. You know what I spend a portion of my night doing? Watching videos on waste management and upcycling and how in India they're making roads with rubber and asphalt.
But, you know, it's not unreasonable. I mean, you should be able to have these things flush.
Why can't you have an inch? Listen, y'all.
That's not.
I got to go to the calls. Anyway. I got to go to the text, and I want to know why you have these unreasonable expectations. They can't even cold patch the road evenly. They can't. I know the guy say no. Make it like a hump because they're gonna break it down, and eventually it'll be even. Ooh, Sparky, thank you for calling because Graham took the fire and you brought it. Caller, you're on the clock. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah. It ain't make no sense what they saying about the road. One person say the road, do we ride on it smooth? The next one say the steel coming out.
But you're missing the point. Graham is riding a scooter, so Graham don't have to obey the traffic laws. He could go left and go right when he need to. Spark
right.
The car now.
You know?
Yeah.
Right, so watch that.
Yeah.
They getting back on the road to go fix that in the next couple of months.
I almost believe you.
Hey, they being sick. They fixing the road. You see what they using to fix the road, the tar, whatever that called?
Yeah.
For some reason, every couple of months, that is disintegrate more like it is.
Well, I'm going to tell you a
portal.
Secret. You see, I can tell you a secret. When the gentleman called and suggested that Alfred Sayers should resign for misleading the House, right, in his statements in Parliament, I was going to tell him then everybody need to go home and the past 2 administrations need to send a paycheck back. Because I remember when the government told us it's just going to be a temporary cold patch program.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, the only thing they could pave road was with his cold patch. And now they don't even inspect the job. They just let anybody come and throw cold patch in the road and then tell us they paved the road. All of them should resign for misleading the public.
If that ain't enough, it's better if they just put concrete down on the road. Put 50
go on.
Ton or some 50 million tons of sand is getting used in the construction industry every day.
Listen.
A lot of sand getting dig up inside our marine or the shores, wherever it is, they get it free bought by the fishing oil roll every day.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
Use the sand. Sand is go along with cement that is made concrete. Right?
Yes.
Use the sand, make the concrete pave through it.
Rubber
and like
sand.
The gentleman before me say, Marco, the spots, what you have to go to service, whatever you have to service underground, and leave the road paved. Once it's concrete, go there, nothing going to happen there. I mean, ain't nothing is last there, but then what?
I feel you, caller. I with you. There are alternatives that we can be using to manage this thing properly in our environment. But the first thing is this. Don't ever again in your lives let anyone convince you that cold patch is the same as paving the road proper. That's like when the man tell you a side chick is just as good as a wife. It don't make sense on the surface. Producer, we could try take that call. Mark, let me get... don't respond to that. Erin. This is a text. Aaron, banks don't just create fees. Graham should know that. Banks charge fees to support the technology and personnel involved in processing the transactions. Tell him to get it right. You don't mind us. We are exuberant about our relationship with the banks.
Well, he was right about one thing. Bahamians are happy, right?
Yeah.
They may not be happy about certain things, but every major survey showed us to be number 5 in the world. There was one in 2006. The one 2011.
That's pre-FTX or post-FTX?
Pre-FTX. And, you know, people trying to figure out why we're so happy. Yeah. And it's probably to do with the conch salad, the click, and the island life.
And
right?
18 holidays a year. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good holidays, Sister. I can always allow you and your guest, Aaron.
Morning, Bremen. How you doing?
We need justice, law, and order in this country, the Bahamas.
Yes, we do.
And ain't everybody happy? I want you to know that.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yes, sir.
But what I want to say, right?
Yeah.
I want to say 2 things, mm-hmm. right? If you'll permit me, please.
Mm-hmm.
One is, the government them got to stop passing those stinking laws whereby people could steal people, other people's property, okay?
I got you.
The mm-hmm. thing is, if somebody squat on mm-hmm. the crown land, they would get mm-hmm. them off with guns.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yes, sir.
But then when they squat in an individual land, you know what I'm saying? It costs the individual a bunch of money.
Mm-hmm.
And then the thing is, the lawyers drag their feet with the case.
Yes, sir.
Couple of them got to stop that foolishness be doing
yes,
to the Bahamian people. Hello?
Yes, sir.
The other point is, right,
mm-hmm.
The police payments, you know, salary, need to cut. Because the bunch of foolishness that's happened in this country and the people, the public, are not getting any answers whereby the situation would be solved.
I'm
joking, because if you take it in your hand, they're going to lock you up. That is nastiness. They got to stop joking. These people be throwing feces on people's property and they squatting on people's property.
I got you, Bremen. I understand. It's a vexing problem. I appreciate the weight of that on you. And the point that you make, where is the support for the private citizen when they experience in the same manner, and why doesn't the state provide the same support that it uses to ensure that its land is not occupied illegally? I with you, Bremen. Let me just get through these texts quickly. What Inland Revenue has done is wrong for business license renewal. The info they requesting should have been a go second month into the year, and they ain't renew a home-based license yet and have them everything they require. Okay, so it seems like we need to have contractual workers that come in at the end of the year when all of the licenses and things are to be processed. Like we need contractual workers to come in and support the work of Inland Revenue during that extremely busy time, or we need to shift expiration dates so not all of the work doesn't pile up at one time. Another text, get them, Aaron, pull out those big words. You are one of the most objective hosts we have left. Thank you, Texter. Another text, Village Road may be smooth, but that roundabout just made it harder to drop and pick up your kids and harder to leave. They cut off extra entrances and exits. It's a dumb. Also, don't appreciate the illegal squatter. Potential squatting on Village Road. Anyway, the top note I had, residents in Exuma are asking the Ministry of the Environment and Natural Resources and the Department of Environmental Protection and Planning to visit the island and address you with waste management, in particular the disposal practices of some business establishments.
I love how they call it waste management.
No,
it's
I
more
call
like
it
waste mismanagement.
That was me. That was me. They're just trying to be polite. My bad. We all out of time. Gotta go.
Looks
I thought
like
I heard
it,
that music in the background.
Mm-hmm.
Texters, thank
I
you
see,
for joining
so.
The conversation. Sparky, Graham, and the other texter, we had a good time. Don't forget to call back tomorrow. You guys have a great day. Guardian Radio AM with Cecil Newry is up next. ¶¶